Every attachment you have puts you to sleep and causes you to lose touch with what you truly desire. Your attachments and addictions pretend to take you where you want to go. But addictions and attachments never really deliver on their promises. The high of addictions are pretend experiences of fulfillment. When the coming down happens, as it always does, you are faced with the deceptiveness of your ego. Your ego promised that this drink, this brownie, this bet, or this toke is going to make you feel better about yourself. It was going to solve your problems or ease your pain. The catch is that it does seem to do what it promised for a moment. But the illusion lasts so briefly. The high of an addiction or attachment is like the merchant in Scripture who had a bumper crop of grain. He was so excited. He thought about building more barns to store all his wealth. He was cautioned by the voice of God saying, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you. In other words, you are going to die tonight. Don't get so caught up in the material world that you lose track of what is truly important and essential." As you become used to seeking and finding satisfaction in your addictions and attachments, it becomes more difficult to look for God directly. You not only miss the transcendent God outside of you, dwelling in the universe, you also miss the God within yourself. You are too busy looking outside to look inside. You might not even be aware that your addictions and attachments are things outside of yourself. After a time, your addictions and attachments become so much of a normal part of your life that you think they are part of who you are. You might even come to think that they are a necessary part of you. When that kind of incorporation happens, addictions and attachments are even more difficult to heal because you do not know how to function without them. You do not think you can function without them. Whenever you face the need to give your power away to someone or something that is not what you truly want, that is an addiction. In a spiritual sense, an addiction or attachment is anything that is not of God, of love, of peace, or of growth. An addiction or attachment is something that wastes your energy and takes you away from your true goal. You like to think you are in control. You like to think you have ownership over the drugs, alcohol, food, or gambling. But in reality, the addiction is controlling you, and you are owned by your appetites. There is an absolutely wonderful indicator you can use to measure your movement toward God, your true goal of God and Spirit. Jesus spoke this truth when he said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where do you spend your time and your energy? What do you think about the most? You might think you know what your treasure is, but be aware of what occupies your attention the most. You might not like what you discover. However, once you become aware of how much energy and focus is going towards your attachments, you can begin to shift and change. "Wow, I think I am so spiritual. But how much of my day is taken up with trivia? How much of my day is taken up with thoughts of anger or fear or scarcity? What is my treasure? I think it is God and love and Spirit. How often, though, do I find myself thinking about how much money I have or don't have? How often do I find myself sidetracked by anger and impatience? I'm waiting in line. And somehow I think I shouldn't have to do this. Somehow or another, the grocery line should part like the Red Sea did for Moses, and I should be able to waltz through." Well, the impatience is certainly off-center for Christ in training. The egotistical arrogance that somehow I am above waiting in line is even more of a hindrance. There is a big lesson here for me. I need to check out my heart, check out what I am thinking about, and what is taking up my emotional energy. If it is not God or the qualities of God, I need to get back on track. When you consciously choose to free yourself from addictions and attachments, you also choose to store up for yourself, as Jesus said, treasure in heaven where neither rust nor moth consumes. Keep in mind you are accepting a challenge that in some respects makes life more difficult, but also much more rewarding. Know that whenever you are pulled to anything, whatever that person, place, thing, or event is, you are experiencing a hunger for something deeper. The yearning inside of you is always a reflection of your yearning for God. Your deepest desire is to be one with God, to be totally loved. Non-attachment does not mean don't eat that brownie or don't buy that necklace, but keep in mind what your heart's desire really is. Your heart's desire is love, God, and Spirit. That is the only reality that will completely satisfy you. It is amazing how attached you can become to old thoughts that no longer serve you. They are like junk in your attic. The junk is especially manifest as resentments you have chosen to keep. Literally, resentment is something you feel over and over again. Why would you ever hold on to such a thing as anger or ill will? You might have developed a distorted type of ego defense that convinces you that you might need one of those feelings sometime, as if you are ever going to need that anger or that fear or that resentment. Look at your thinking again. Well, he, she just might say something, and I might need that ammunition to throw back. Do you really need that ammunition? Or is it just dead weight keeping you from your goal? You might erroneously think that holding on to a piece of anger and resentment is a way of punishing the other person. You might think they do not deserve your love or forgiveness. Let it go. Give it back to God. The release is like cleaning off your desk. It is like ridding yourself of the mind clutter. How freeing that can be. How many of those useless conversations have I carried on in my head? Well, when he says this, I'll say that. Just as destructive are the internal dialogues reenacting past conversations. Well, when she said that, I should have said. I remember an old expression my mother used to use. I should have really given him a piece of my mind. In reality, Mom, what you're doing is giving away a piece of your soul. I've even found myself carrying on inner conversations about things that never happened. This is such a setup for negativity and loss of energy. I might be driving along and I think to myself, now if that car cuts me off, here is what I will be feeling and here's what I will say to that guy. How insane is that? Here I am attached to a piece of anger and resentment that has absolutely no cause or substance in the world. Perhaps that is a really good thing for me to be aware of, because in actuality, there is no cause or substance for any form of resentment. Remember something suggested previously? As Christ in training, you need to know this commitment to the truth of who you are requires work. It requires discipline. It requires sacrifice. By the way, sacrifice does not mean suffering and pain. It means, literally, to make holy. Christ in training and the work of Christ in training requires focusing on long-term gains over short-term ones. It requires a deep, deep love of self that goes beyond the surface. This is not any different from the work you are challenged to do in any relationship. You know that in any relationship requires work and effort. The focus here is relationship in its highest form, your relationship with God. Attachments can be subtle. Sometimes addictions can even wear the disguise of virtue. You can become attached to the good qualities of another and admire them from afar. But this does you no good at all. Admiration of a quality or a person is simply admiration. What Christ in training is after is assimilation and action. Talking about and admiring someone else's virtues is easy. Living them yourself is the challenge. And so the question you need to ask yourself is, am I here to feel good about someone else's spiritual experience? Or am I willing to take up the challenge and embrace my truth, which is also God's truth, each moment of each day? You might delight in that idea of Jesus, greater things than this shall you do. But when was the last time you even thought of attempting greater or even similar things? If you are attracted to Gandhi or any other master, it is because you sense the spark of the divine in them. You sense that they have been able to really understand the deepest yearning of their soul. They have been able to be inspired by their yearning for God, and they have learned how to begin to achieve and satisfy that yearning with God alone. They have not only read the book on Christ in training, they are doing it. Gandhi himself put it so powerfully, "I have not the shadow of a doubt that any man or woman can achieve what I have if he or she would make the same effort and cultivate the same hope and faith." So where do you begin this journey of moving from admiring the man to living his virtue? If it is Gandhi you are thinking about, then how do you move from admiring nonviolence to living it? If it is Jesus you are emulating, then how do you move from admiring love, compassion, and forgiveness to living it? The first step is knowing you can choose any personification of virtue that you want. But you must know that the work to manifest that virtue is yours. As with any piece of growth, you are not going to be able to take it on all at once. You take little steps. The results will not be tangible right away. Your mind is not going to be happy about little steps that do not seem to have substantial outcomes. Your little self wants to do it all at once. And more importantly, the mind and ego are going to be looking for some rewards along the way. So be aware of this. When the mind does not get immediate gratification, it likes to convince you to give up. Notice again how attachment crops up. This time, it is attachment to results. Stay with the work. Let go of your expectations. Continue to affirm that God is in charge. Keep your focus on God and the loving good you are doing. Keep your focus on God and on loving the good. Remember what Emmett Fox stated in his wonderful Golden Key. Whenever you have a problem or difficulty, stop thinking about the problem and turn your attention to God. According to Meister Eckhart, detachment rekindles the heart, awakens the spirit, stimulates our longings, and shows you where God is. The Hindu Gita states, the disciplined man with joy and light within becomes one with God and reaches the freedom that is God's. To complete the circle of knowing, another way of expressing non-attachment is to be loving. Jesus put it this way, love one another as I have loved you. You realize you cannot practice that kind of love with attachments holding you back and draining you of energy. Detachment uncovers your basic desire for God and sets it free. With freedom from desire comes the capacity to love, and to be loving is the goal of the spiritual life. Jesus' many words about detachment are set in the context of growing into the fullness of love. Gandhi also said, I will give you a talisman. Whenever you are in doubt or when the self becomes too much with you, try the following expedient. Recall the face of the poorest and the most helpless man or the most helpless person whom you may have seen and ask yourself if the step you contemplate is going to be of any use to him. Then you will find your doubts and yourself melting away. Your Christ in training prayer can be, O God, help me to keep my focus on you. Give me the grace and awareness to lovingly enjoy all the things of this world, and let me know that all my yearnings are the yearnings to be whole, to be loved, and to be free. Let me know that through your love and truth, I have all these gifts right now. Amen. As is usual and predictable for me, I grew impatient and wanted to move on quickly. I wanted my training to be completed. I didn't want to be Christ in training anymore. I wanted to be finished. I wanted to be done with the in-training part. I wanted to graduate. I wanted to be put to work in the vineyards of the Lord. Enough of this education stuff. Let's move on. As anxious as I was, my curiosity got the better of me. I wanted to sneak a look at what lessons were to come. I began to run into blank pages, just as I did when I first began looking for things, such as how to catch a boatload of fish or casting out demons. The pages weren't completely blank, though. There were some tantalizing hints of what was to come. I wondered if my learning had reached a point where I was being challenged to take in these truths and ponder on them without a lot of explanation or direction. Perhaps, when I was ready, more would be revealed.